Also coming up in a couple of weeks is the Canadian Football League season. NFL camps are open, so let's turn our attention to some football talk. And we're joined by our TSN football insider and analyst, Dave Naylor. Dave, thanks for joining us. I'm going to ask you right away, the CFL season starts in 13 days, right? What's it going to look like?
You know, I think it's going to look really good because it's opening in Winnipeg and Saskatchewan, where there are going to be, I think, a pair of sellouts for those two games. And then when they move over to Alberta, I think they're going to have good crowds in Edmonton and Calgary for that first week. Now, you know, within the stadium, there are going to be some things that are going to be a little bit different. I think there's going to be, you know, trying to not have the sort of crowds gathering in the stands, you know, outside of the seats, those kinds of things. But Saskatchewan and Alberta in particular, you know, the regulations are off. There's no restrictions. In Manitoba, it's a bit of a different experiment because you must be double vaxxed to go to a game there, which, you know, they're going to have to message to fans to get there early because you're going to have to show your double vax. You're going to have to show ID, which is not something, you know, we're used to. So, you know, other than that, I think it's going to look relatively normal, you know, for the opening weekend of the season.
But normally there's preseason games. And normally you have maybe a mini camp of some kind before you have a training camp to get to this point. I really wonder what the football is going to look like, even though we know, you know, majority of the quarterbacks anyhow that are going to be starting on week one. But what is it going to look like compared to what we're used to seeing?
Well, you've got three elements, you know, when you're talking about the actual quality of the game that are different from a normal year. One is you have 2 years of transactions and turnover and retirements in one. And we know that there's in any football season from one to another, it's a sport with a high degree of attrition. So you've got 2 years worth of attrition. Then you've got, for the first time, most of these guys in their lives, you know, they've gone 20 months without playing football. So there's, you know, another unknown. And then the third unknown, as you mentioned, is having no preseason games. Now, it's a month-long training camp. So, and, you know, you don't have the travel dates for a day off after games and things like that. And the teams are playing some competitive scrimmages and things like that. And then the other factor is that, depending on the team, I mean, when Mark Trestman was coaching in Toronto, I don't think he played, most of his starters didn't even play preseason games. I mean, he held them out completely.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, not so well.
Wow.
I don't know if that was the factor. There's a correlation, I don't know. But the point is that a lot of coaches look at the relationship between risk and reward of playing players in preseason games. I mean, we've seen that in the NFL. The NFL used to cut down in mid-camp, right? They have to be down to this number of players, this many players, this number of players. Well, the NFL doesn't do that anymore. They cut everybody at the end of training camp. Why? Because they want to keep everybody around to play in these meaningless preseason games so that the starters don't have to play. So it's really, you know, the culture of football has gone from, you know, preseason games being tune-ups for stars to, you know, auditions for understudies.
So let's touch on Southern Ontario for just a second.
Yep.
The Hamilton Tiger Cats obviously are a contending team. We don't know who their starting quarterback is. The Argos are, we don't know what they are, contending or not. And we don't know who their quarterback is. So let us in right now on who's going to quarterback either of these teams.
You know, it's funny because you don't get that many instances where you have, you know, a purely wide open competition at the quarterback job. I mean, usually, you know, there's somebody who's the lead and somebody else who's challenging. But in these two situations, both teams declared them wide open. And you can see why in Hamilton, certainly. I mean, Jeremiah Mazzoli was playing, you know, at a spectacularly high level when he was injured about a third of the way through the 2019 season. And Dane Evans, who was just in his second season, you know, came in and carried them all the way to the Grey Cup. And I think there were some people surprised that Jeremiah Mazzoli signed back in Hamilton, given the competitive situation that's there. You know, everybody who talks about the relationship that those two guys have talk about it being very special, very unique, you know, that they are truly competitors and teammates and in the truest sense, and you know that it's not something that's dividing the room, but it's a heck of a choice. And then, of course, the question is going to be, once you make that choice, if things don't go well for whatever reason along the way, you know, how long are you committed to that? Are you going to the other guy? Because certainly they both have resumes that say they deserve to be starting quarterbacks in the CFL. And down the highway in Toronto, you got a slightly different situation. And look, I think that Nick Arbuckle is the lead dog there, just because of the fact that he started seven games for Calgary. He was very successful, and he has a relationship with Ryan Dinwiddie, the head coach of the Argonauts, who was the quarterback coach in Calgary. And, you know, there's just a familiarity there in terms of, you know, terminology and systems and those kinds of things. And McLeod Bethel-Thompson, who's been with the Argonauts the last couple of years, played very well in the second half last year. And I was on a call with him recently where he just talked about, you know, how much, like so many players we talk about, it's usually that 2 to 3 year window where a quarterback kind of either gets it or doesn't in Canadian football. Very rarely, you know, is a guy able to compete at a very high level before that time. And usually if it hasn't clicked for them for 2 or 3 years, you know, it never does. And this is year number 3 for him. So you know, I think the Argonauts feel like a lot of teams do right now that this is a 2-quarterback league, and you know, you better have 2 that can play. And yeah, we'll see where it goes. But I would expect that Nick Arbuckle is going to start when the Argonauts open in a couple of weeks.
All right. We're talking to our football insider, Dave Naylor. David, the NFL made some news yesterday announcing that if a game is postponed due to COVID and can't be made up, the players on either team, on both teams, won't be paid. And there'll be punishment for the team that if an unvaccinated player or players cause the outbreak, that there'll be financial penalties to the team itself that has to forfeit the game. The team with the outbreak will forfeit the game. Today, the Minnesota Vikings fired assistant coach Rick Dennison, who's been around the NFL as a player and coach for 30 years, because he refused to get vaccinated. What's your take on this, and what kind of ripple effect is this going to have in other leagues and even in the CFL?
Well, it's interesting because the coaches thing is a requirement, right? Like the league has mandated that coaches have to get vaccinated. It's not a choice. With players, they haven't. And I assume that has to do with negotiations with the NFLPA. And you know, the NFLPA took some criticism yesterday, and they kind of defended themselves saying, well, we had this rule last year, you know, that if games were forfeited, players were not going to get paid. Well, the difference was there was no vaccine last time, right? So people understood that that could happen just as through circumstance. But now, you know, the more players you've got on your team that are not vaccinated, the more potential there is for an outbreak. And if there's an outbreak, not only are your team not getting paid, but the guys on the other team aren't getting paid. So you think of the degree of peer pressure, or just pressure, I guess, on players to get vaccinated. And it's, as people have talked about it, you know, this is like mandating vaccines without actually mandating vaccines. So I think it got a lot of people's attention. The NFL is saying, you know, we're going to make this as uncomfortable as possible for people who don't want to get vaccinated. And the comparisons have been drawn to what's going on in the CFL, where the CFL is essentially operating the way the NFL did last year or the way hockey did this past season, where there is no different classification for who's vaccinated and who's not. Everybody's under the same protocol. Guys who, if you've got both shots, you're not going to be able to go and do what you want. And the reason for this, I think, is if you look at the timing of when the CFL had to draft its protocol, you know, back in April and May, they couldn't even be certain at that time that everybody who wanted a vaccine could get one. I mean, I don't know about you guys. My second vaccine was booked originally for like August 6th, and I ended up getting it on, you know, June the 15th or something. But at the time they were drafting these policies, which they had to get approved by all 6 provinces and the federal government, they couldn't really mandate vaccines or even put in a system that made it punitive to not have a vaccine because they weren't sure everybody was going to be able to get a vaccine by the time the season started. Well, here we are now. Anybody who wants to get vaccinated can be. The season's starting in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And there are conversations going on between the Players Association and the league about loosening restrictions. The problem is, again, 6 provinces to sign off, federal government. It's about a month in lag time from the time that they would submit that proposal until they would get it approved. So I would expect that the Canadian Football League is going to have some kind of two-tiered system, rules for guys that are vaccinated, rules for guys that are not, at some point this year. And I think the Players Association is going to be okay with that. But it's probably 4 to 5 weeks away at least. The start of the season, they're going to have to act like, you know, it's January. And like we saw the NFL and the NHL dealing the past year. So part of it, I think, is just the NFL had an earlier vaccine schedule and a later start to their season. The CFL had a later vaccine schedule in Canada and an earlier start to their season.
So a few weeks ago, NFL teams got checks from the league for $309 million each for television rights.
What's the cap in that league?
Over $200 million. Yeah. Well, it's over two. I think it's 219 this year,
so
I think.
That check covered their payrolls nicely.
Yes, right? More than covered the payroll. So when you get that check, you're the owner of whatever franchise, and you get your check, and the league says, you got to vaccinate all your coaches. Like, firing your coach is about the easiest thing in the world to do, is it not?
Well, exactly, Steve. And this is, you know, we can talk about the different, you know, direction or cultures in the two leagues, right? That check is why the league office runs the NFL. Everybody's getting $309 million a year. They tell people what to do. They do it.
That's why you play Thursday and Sunday.
And pretty soon Wednesday and Tuesday.
Yeah, so you're talking about, you know, there's a massive share of their revenue comes out of the league office, you know, through the television and sponsorship and other things, but mostly through television. And in, you know, by comparison, in the CFL, you know, the distribution is about $5 million a year. I mean, for a team like at the higher end that are doing $35 or $40 million a year in business, I mean, you guys do the math. It's a pretty small percentage of your overall revenue, which is why it tends to be the teams that dictate things to the league, as because they don't have those gigantic checks. But you know, to your point, you know, the NFL, I think what they've set out with their message, you know, is that there is a way to play football and play it safely. We believe they are deferring completely to science, to the vaccines. And they basically said it may not, we don't have the ability to force players to get vaccinated through our, you know, the negotiations with the NFLPA, but we're going to push that needle as far as we can. We are going to send a message about where we think what we need to do to have a good season and what we need players to do. And while we can't take away the right not to be vaccinated, we are going to make life as difficult as possible. And we're going to bring an enormous amount of pressure on you, you know, through the means during which we're, how we're going to determine, you know, what happens if games can't be played.
David, thanks for talking to us. We'll look forward to more news as the CFL season approaches and the NFL season approaches as well.
Thanks, guys. It's great to be talking football again, especially in the CFL context. It's a long layoff.
Nice to do it. Thanks very much.